Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we probably all heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And I suspect that we all know that that isn't true. Words can hurt. Words are powerful. In this morning's epistle reading, James uses three comparisons to illustrate the power of the spoken word, that is, the power of the tongue. James says that the tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth, as a small piece of metal can turn and guide the whole body. The tongue is like the rudder on a ship, which, as small as it is, can control where the whole ship goes. And the tongue, he says, is like a small spark of fire, which can set a whole forest ablaze. In each of these three comparisons, the main point is that what might appear to be the smallest thing, what might appear to be utterly insignificant, can have a dramatically large effect. Like a bit guiding a horse or a rudder controlling a ship, just a few words can change the direction of a person's life. And like a spark starting a fire, the damage done by a few words, or sometimes even one word, can spread quickly before we even realize what has happened. Whether it's demeaning words from a parent causing a child to feel unloved, or bullying on social media robbing a teen of her joy, gossiping among people of any age, words of accusation or ridicule from someone close, words are indeed dramatically powerful things. Well, then, having been reminded by James of the power that our words can have and the damage that a tongue can do, this naturally leads us to ask what we can do to gain control over our tongues. And so it can be troubling to hear James then say the following. He says, every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. No human being can tame the tongue. And why is that? It's because while many problems do flow from the words that roll off our tongues, the real problem is not our tongues. The problem is the heart, which is being revealed in those words. While a bit might guide a horse, there is also a rider controlling the bit. And while a rudder might direct a ship, there is also a pilot controlling the rudder. In a similar way, while the words of our tongue might have a tremendous impact, it is our hearts that move our tongues to speak those words. James makes that point by observing that saltwater ponds cannot yield fresh water any more than fig trees can produce olives or grapevines can produce figs. In the same way, the right words cannot come out of a heart that isn't right. And so we come to the heart of the problem, which is the problem of the heart. The problem is that we cannot give ourselves new hearts. And that is why, as James said, no human being can tame the tongue. So what is James getting at here? Why does he draw our attention to the damage that our tongues can do, only to then say that no human being can tame the tongue? Is the idea to somehow bring us down and then just leave us there feeling hopeless? Quite the opposite. In fact, James is telling us all this so that he can direct us to the source of our real hope and our real help. The purpose of these verses from James is precisely the same purpose as all of Scripture. The purpose of these verses is to point us to Christ. So, how do these verses point us to Christ? They do so in more than one way. They do so first by making us more aware of the hurt that we cause with our words. By doing that, James is heightening our awareness of our sin and the seriousness of our sin. He's doing that for our own good. He's making us more aware of our sin so that we will be more aware of our need for a Savior from sin. And second, by coming right out and telling us that we cannot solve this problem on our own, that no human being can tame the tongue or master the tongue, James is making sure we understand that we cannot save ourselves. We are not up to the task. When it comes to spiritual matters, the condition of our heart, self-reliance is a dead-end road. So James is telling us here that we need to be looking outside of ourselves to someone else for the real answer to our problems, including the problem of the tongue and the problem of the heart that is guiding that tongue. So James makes us aware of our need to be saved and of the fact that we cannot simply save ourselves. And then he also begins to give us an indication of where we need to be looking for our help and for our salvation. Notice that James does not say, no one at all can tame the tongue. Instead, he says, no human being can tame the tongue. And by wording it that way, James is inviting us to ask whether there might just happen to be someone else, someone who is more than a mere human being, who can, in fact, tame the tongue. And indeed, there is one who can. Jesus Christ is truly human, but at the same time, he is also much more than human. He is also truly God, God in the flesh. And so Jesus can do, and in fact has done, what none of us are able to do. Jesus and Jesus alone has perfectly controlled the tongue. We read in 1 Peter that Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is the only one who has perfectly controlled or tamed the tongue. He did not lie. He never gossiped. He wouldn't flatter people so that he could manipulate them. He made no false accusations. When others wronged him, he would not lower himself down to their level. People didn't always like what Jesus had to say, but he always spoke the truth, and he always spoke the truth in love. None of us can tame the tongue or master the tongue, but Jesus did, and he did so perfectly. And why is it important for us that Jesus had perfect control over his tongue? Because if Jesus had not had perfect control over his tongue, he could not have been our Savior. If Jesus had failed to control his tongue even once, that would have meant that he was a sinner. And that would have meant that he could not save us from our sins, because he would have had sins of his own to worry about. If Jesus had sinned, then he would have not been able to pay for our sins, because his focus would have had to be on his responsibility for his own sins. In that case, he would not have been able to die for our sins. His death would not have been our redemption price. It is because Jesus had no sins of his own that he was then able to suffer and die for all of our sins, including all of our sins of the tongue. And because he has done that, because he has in fact lived a sinless life in thought, in word, and in deed, and then paid for all of our sins by dying in our place on the cross, because he has done that, we have been saved from all of our sins because Jesus has paid for all of them on the cross. All the times that we have unnecessarily hurt people with our words, all the times that we have let people down with our words, every time that we have failed to say the words that we should have said, every time that we have failed to tame the tongue, every one of those sins has been paid for in full by Jesus Christ, who paid for all those sins not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. And not only has Jesus redeemed us from our sinful misuse of words, as if that weren't enough, but now he also uses his words to speak to us and fill our ears with his words of comfort and encouragement, giving us his words of forgiveness and renewal, speaking to us his words of eternal life. Words like, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Words like, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Take and drink, this is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins." Words like, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Those are words that we can trust in, and those words are powerful, as those words give us exactly what they say. Those words from Jesus give us rest and peace. They give us forgiveness, life, everlasting salvation. And there is more. For these words that Jesus speaks to us do not leave us unchanged. It is the comforting words of mercy that Jesus speaks to us that then move us to speak more mercifully to others. It is his words of forgiveness that he speaks to us that then move us to speak words of forgiveness to one another, forgiving one another as we have been forgiven in Christ. And it is his words of undeserved love that he speaks to us that then move us to share his love with others in what we do and what we say, moving us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, moving us to use our words to lift up those who have been beaten down by the world, moving us to serve as Christ's ambassadors by bringing his message of reconciliation to the world. We cannot tame our tongues, but the same Lord who forgives us for our sins of the tongue also strengthens and renews us so that our hearts and the words that flow from our hearts through our lips to another's ears, those words are not the same as they would be apart from him. In last week's gospel reading, we heard of how Jesus miraculously gave a man who had been mute the ability to speak. Today, the Lord does something even more amazing for us. As he comes to us, who apart from him cannot tame our tongues, he comes to us, creates clean hearts within us, renews a right spirit within us, and does that so that by his grace, from our lips too, can come words of grace and truth. Of course, we won't do that perfectly as long as we are fallen people living in a fallen world. But again, that is why we are not ultimately trusting in ourselves. We are trusting in Jesus. After all, to whom else would we go? He has the words of eternal life. All glory, honor, and praise be to Christ Jesus, in whose powerful saving words we trust. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.